In the opening part of the meeting, I would like to read with you, please, first in the book of Jeremiah, prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, and we'll read, please, from verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Now come over with me, please, to the first book of Samuel, first book of Samuel, chapter 20, and we'll read here, please, at verse 3. David sware moreover and said, Thy father, that would be King Saul, certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Now another reading, please, will be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3. And we'll read, please, from verse 32, What he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Very solemn words. The wrath of God abideth on him. And last of all, please, in the Epistle to the Romans, in chapter 10, we'll read here, please. At verse 6, But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now God will bless the reading of these portions of his word, and we trust you have helped to make a few comments upon them that may be of help to some in our meeting tonight. And as we have already stated, we trust that there are those who are here who have a desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You may be a stranger to the gospel, and if you have come in a stranger and have not heard the word of God preached as we might be doing it tonight, we would like to inform you that the important thing in one's life, the most important thing in the life of any individual, is their relationship with God, and it's absolutely necessary, if any person is going to be in heaven, that they have a proper relationship with God. That relationship can only take place when a person comes by simple faith to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they trust him as their Savior. The purpose in the Lord Jesus dying upon the cross of Calvary was to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And there's no individual that will ever reach the pearly gates of glory that has not understood that at the place called Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ was the sin bearer. He was there to bear the sins of many. And every person that is ever going to be in heaven has a moment when they found the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and they came by simple faith to understand that the work of the cross was in order that they might have eternal life. Everyone that is going home to heaven has had that moment in their experience, has had that time when they found the Savior, has experienced the understanding that if they died in their sins, their soul would be in hell forever. It came to me very strongly as a lad back in the city of Toronto many years ago, 54 years ago, a poor sinner bound for hell. I discovered the tragic truth that I was bound for eternal judgment unless I got to know Christ as my Savior. And I will never forget that moment at the back of the Gospel Hall on the Brock Avenue Street in the city of Toronto, when as a poor sinner, crying out to God for mercy, I discovered that my sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. As the hymn writer says, God who knew them laid them on him, and believing, I go free. That moment I saw that Jesus died for me, I entered into the joy and the peace of sins forgiven. Now, in the scriptures that we have read some things here that are brought before us that are very near to every one of us. We have read of the nearness of God to the sinner. God is spoken out of here as one that is very near. Am I a God afar off? My friend, God is near to every one of us. We were noticing that the other night in the words of the apostle in Acts chapter 17, that in him we live and move and have our being. And the very God that created us is the God that is everywhere, and the God that is near to sinners tonight, the God that men and women are going to have to meet one day, as Amos put it when he was sent with a message to the king, prepare to meet thy God. At least to Israel, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now every one of us need to prepare to meet God. And the purpose of our coming together, the purpose of gospel meetings, is to make it very clear that every man and woman, boy and girl, younger ones and older ones as well, must meet God. Every single individual. And we are going to meet God. Some of us are going to come into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ to worship and to praise and adore his holy name forever, because we have discovered that he died for us at Calvary and put away our sin. Others are going to be brought into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment when it's too late for mercy, the day of grace is past and gone, and there they will receive that solemn sentence, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And sinners who have refused and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior will find themselves on the outside of a blessing of God and of eternal life if they have never come to know Him. Now, the devil's business today, the devil's strategy, is simply to get people to put afar off that which is most important. And we're living in a day and age when the devil has it calculated, because he's spoken of as the prince of the power of the air. He has calculated that sinners will not come to Christ, and he has people so occupied with the things of time and sense that there seems to be no time to stop and think, where am I going to go after I leave this scene of time? After all, friends, we're here for a moment, and then we're gone forever. Life is very brief. At the very longest, 70 years. Oh, you say lots of people live for longer than 70 years. That may be true, friend. But whether it's a little shorter or a little longer, and the average lifespan is shorter than 70 years. And, friend, if you live out your 70 years, if by reason of strength you live out 80, or you live to be 100 years, then what is 100 years compared with eternity? And, friend, tonight your wisest move in this meeting is to prepare for the eternity that lies ahead of you. Now, it just seems to me to be such a senseless thing for people to put aside and not face the matters of eternity and their soul and where they're going to be. When one goes to the doctor and has that examination, and the doctor discovers that there is something there that is very critical, that must be treated immediately, that must be attended to, we usually take the doctor seriously, and so we begin to face the situation because our health is involved. But again, I say, that's only for a short time. It's just a matter of this body and this life, which is very short after all. And naturally, the most of us want to live as well as we can and as long as we can and enjoy what we can while we're here in the body. But friend, what is this compared to eternity? That unending eternity that will never, ever, never have an end. We sometimes quote those words, "Come, O my soul, thy certain ruin trace. If thou shouldst spurn a Savior's proffered grace, infinite years of torment must thou spend, which never, never, never have an end. Yes, thou must spend in torment and despair as many years as atoms in the air. When these are gone, as many to ensue as drops of rain or blades or drops of morning dew. When all these dreadful years are spent in pain and multiplied by myriads yet again, could I suppose that then thy wretched years were at a close? Ah, no. I shiver at that awful word, forever. My friend, eternity stretches out before you. And it is wisdom on your part tonight to get down to business before God and get to know Christ as your Savior. Satan will deceive you into putting it off to some other time, and not facing the most important matter in life, if you can possibly do it. I remember when we were reading a little history in connection with Churchill back before the last great war. Time and time again, Mr. Churchill, who was not in leadership position at that time, but many and many a time he warned his warned the cabinet members that there was war in the offing, that Germany was preparing. And yet Chamberlain went over into Germany, and he made his agreement with them there, as though everything was going to be all right. All these peace talks and the rest, something similar to what's going on in so many parts of our world today. But underneath all the time, the awful machinery of war was preparing. And there was nothing in the mind of that evil man, in the leadership of Germany, that was going to just settle down and be peaceful. He had it in his mind to take over. Churchill warned them, and he warned them, and he warned them. Suddenly it happened. What they never believed would happen, happened, and the war broke out. As a result of those years of war, thousands of lives were cut off and lost. I want to tell you, friend, you put off God's salvation. You put off facing the most important matter that you have today, and you could lose your soul for the eternal ages. The Job that said, can God see through the dark clouds? God knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what you're thinking about. He knows all about your sins. He knows, friend, and he has sent the gospel to your very ears that you might prepare for that which lies ahead. I wonder sometimes what it takes to get young people and older folk stirred up to think about their soul. There's some here tonight, and you've been here for 4 weeks of gospel meetings and not saved. I want to say, friend, I wouldn't be surprised God will send some kind of an earthquake into your experience to shake you and make you awaken. I heard about a man out in these parts somewhere. I trust I'm not treading on anybody's toes by mentioning this. But away back east, I heard about a man a number of years ago. When he got up to tell how God saved him, because thank God he did get saved. But he said, friends, I want to tell you that I got saved, but he said it was at tremendous cost. He said, I had 3 idols in my life. And he said, it cost me all 3 of those idols to get God's salvation. I don't know what's keeping you from Christ tonight. But friend, whatever it is, my advice is to set it to one side and forget all about those other things that you think are so important in life, and get this matter of your soul's eternal salvation settled. You say, what idols did this man have? Well, this man went on to explain that he had good health, and he loved a healthy body, used to do all the exercising that was necessary to keep his body in good shape, and he had a very healthy body, and he expected to live a long time. He had a good job, and he said he loved his job, and he was just glad that he had a job that he enjoyed so much, and he got paid for doing it. Then he said, another idol that I had was my little son. He said, I worship that little son. He meant the world to me. He said, God had dealt with me many times before, but I had no time for the gospel. Oh, relatives were saved. But he said, one day God took my idols, took them all at the same time. He said, we had an automobile accident. Said, my body was broken so that my health was impaired, and I'll never be the same again the rest of my life. Because of my health problems, he said, my job had to go by the board, and he said, I wasn't able to do my job anymore, so I lost my type of employment. He said, the worst of all, he said, in that accident, God took my little son. He said, that for the first time I realized God is dealing with me. He said I had to get to my room, I had to get to some place alone, get right with God. He said there came a moment when I gave in to the dealings of God, because you see, usually it's the will that's involved. And people are just not willing. There's many in our meeting tonight, and you know the gospel. You know how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And there's a man in the glory that bears the marks of Calvary, who put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and it's required of you to acknowledge your sin to the God of heaven, and accept the Savior that has been provided for you. That dear man finally got God's salvation. But he said, it cost me my reality. You see, if you don't listen to the dealings of God in the ordinary means, because it's pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not foolish preaching. We trust that we're not in any sense being foolish in our preaching. But there are some people and they think it's foolishness. They say, how can a person get saved in that manner? Well, we acknowledge it isn't the preaching that saves anybody, but it's pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That is, God would communicate to sinners the simple way of salvation through the preaching of the gospel. And those that believe will enjoy the blessing of salvation and eternal life. Friend, if the ordinary means doesn't work, sometimes God has to use extraordinary means to bring a soul to that place where they really want God's salvation. We've been reading here about the nearness of death. We have been hearing considerable in these gospel meetings about that awful, grim monster that is on the track of every individual. Friend, one of the reasons we want you to understand the importance of getting your soul saved is because death is coming. Coming in the judgment day. We often quote those old words. Many of the old preachers used to quote, death comes down with reckless footsteps to the hall and hut. Think you death will carry knocking where the door is shut? Jesus waiteth, but the door is fast. Breathe the way thy Savior bore. Death comes in at last. Friend, one of these days, we're hearing about sudden accidents every day. Sinners being cut off. Came to my mind today about a young man sat in gospel meetings just like yours. Heard the gospel a number of times. He went out with his father in the boat. This was on the Labrador coast, to shoot a few birds, a few ducks. Usually at that when the duck season was on. When they came back in, they pulled their boat up on the sandy shore. The father jumped out first, and he pulled the boat up on the shore. The young man in the back of the boat, he climbed over one of the seats. He picked up the shotgun. He picked it up by the barrel. He went to pass it to his father, but it was a little heavy, and it fell down on the next seat. When it struck the seat, some reason it went off. But a little crazy. Young man who had sat in gospel meetings just like you were in tonight. He sighed his last sigh, and he breathed his last breath there in that boat. The side of the shore, and a soul went into eternity, never to return. I wonder what's going to happen to some in our audience here. We can't prophesy, but I do believe this, that in meetings where God has been dealing and God has been speaking, we can anticipate anything happening. And I've heard brethren pray night after night that God would preserve those who are in the meeting from accident or danger. What a fearful thing it would be for any young man or any young woman or older person to go out into eternity after having listened to the gospel time after time after time. But I want to point out before I stop, in John chapter 3 and verse 36, it is a wonderful verse, and many a soul has come to know Christ as their Savior. As they read that verse over, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And that's the wonderful part of the verse, friend. And if there's a soul in our meeting tonight, by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can enter into the joy and the peace and the satisfaction of knowing your sins forgiven, of having everlasting life, by simple faith in the work that was accomplished for you. Listen to the rest of the verse. It says that he that believeth not, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I want to tell you, friends, death is near, the wrath of God is near. Just as near as your freedom. If you're not saved, you just take a mental note of this. That hell and the lake of fire are as near as your breathing. You stop breathing. When your heart stops beating, your soul will drop into the awful pain of God's eternity. Even tonight, that wrath abides upon you. Say, what does it mean? It just means that the sentence has already been passed. It doesn't mean that you're going to wait till you get to the great white throne and it's going to be decided whether it's heaven or hell. No, friend, that's decided right now, and it's decided by you. You are the one that has to make the choice. Will I accept the Savior? Will I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will I just go on the way I am and miss the greatest blessing that heaven can bestow upon me? Reminds me of that hardened criminal. He had a little bit of understanding. He was pacing back and forth in his cell, just waiting for the warden to come. Because in a very short time he was going to be taken out to the place of execution. He had faced guns before. He had been fearless in any fight with anybody, whatever the weapons were. He had faced many an opponent. The warden stood there looking in there at him, pacing back and forth, without worrying about his face. He said, man, he said, what's the trouble? He said, you faced death before. He said, yes. He said, that's true. He said, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death. But he said, at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, he said, I have to meet death. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after death, to live. My friend, if you're going to walk your soul and his salvation, I want to tell you something just before I start. Salvation is here tonight. The word is nigh thee. That is near to you. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Friend, it's as simple as this. If you're willing to confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the man that came to die on Calvary is living at God's right hand in heaven. Receive him as your Savior tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Oh, I know there's some and you say, well, that's the problem. It's that believing. It's that believing. Friend, listen. It's not the matter of the believing. It's the person that you're believing in. It's the man that died on Calvary. Friend, there's a living man in heaven. Look away to Calvary. See the blessed, bleeding, dying Lamb of God. As John could say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God help you as the meeting continues. The plead of the Savior. Trust him and go on your way, happy and rejoicing. And may it be so.